I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scaling Center here at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 38, Week 4. Hobart travels to Pennsylvania to play the Keystone College Giants on Saturday. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Ted.
27-12 win over Moravian on Saturday. That was a grinding football game. That's one of the great lessons of football. Things can be going wrong all day. You grind, you keep on going, and you can find a way to win in the fourth.
Absolutely. Need to stay the course, and I thought our guys did that. Kept playing hard, and that was the thing that's been probably the most consistent from our game so far this season, is that we're going to play hard for 60 minutes, not always playing perfect. We might make some mistakes, but the effort is there. If we can be consistent on that that grind, to just stay in the course, and then hopefully make enough plays at the end. Again, we'll try to work on a better start to the game, but I'll take that effort. I'll take that resiliency, that toughness, both physical and mental toughness for the 60 minutes and 60 minutes plus if it takes it.
We've been watching the development of this offense. You ended up with more yards on Saturday than you averaged last year. I mean, same thing. They just grounded out, and some things started to fall into place.
Yeah, I think early on, and we knew, I thought Moravian was a really good defense. I thought that was the strength of their team. As much as they had that, you know, prolific throwing offense and the senior quarterback, I thought that their defense was really, really strong, and that showed. I think we were able to run the ball well enough early on, just we weren't able to finish off drives. That's something that's obviously got to be a focus for us going forward, is to be able to finish off, especially, you know, three out of those first four drives were, I think, either self-inflicted wounds or something that kind of prevented us from finishing it in points. You know, just tried to settle the guys down, even when our defense, you know, gave up the first touchdown, just say, stay the course, keep playing. And eventually we got the short field capitalized there. And you know, I thought the passing game especially opened up as the game went on.
Of course, you can't coach speed, is the old saying. And Ahmad Crowell is beginning to look like the guy we saw last year, caught two deep touchdown balls, and having somebody like that to stretch the field makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, our speed at wide receiver right now is better than it was last year in terms of we've increased the quickness. There's still a handful of guys that are still kind of learning the ropes, so as they get more and more confident, hopefully that speed will show out. But I think it was just a matter of time matching. There was a couple times where we missed either the reads, the protections, the routes. You know, if we could put it all together, and that's what happened in the fourth quarter, is we were able to kind of create some matchups that were in our favor, and then Johnny was able to put it in the right spot for the receivers, and they went up and made some good plays.
The O-line was able to open up holes for the running game. E.J. Taylor wound up with 99 yards, but what is most impressive about that, his longest run was 10, so he was getting that consistent 6-7 yards a pop.
Yeah, E.J. played really well. You know, never had that big play, the big run that he had like back in week one, but that was okay. He was steady. I thought he actually played more physical in this game in terms of finishing off those hidden yards. And when Kieran Cotter came in, again, provided some of those runs as well. So, you know, offensive line-wise, again, that's three different games. We've had three different groups of offensive line playing together. So that's the goals, hopefully, as we can start to kind of get some cohesiveness and get guys getting used to playing one another up front. Hopefully that's a sign for some development over these next couple weeks.
You did a lot of different things in the passing game. You threw some bubble screens. You threw some deep balls over the middle. Lucas Ruby made a great catch and a ball down the middle. So you're really looking at ways to get that passing game going.
Yeah, the first 2 weeks in particular, we saw teams that were very clear of where they were going to be. You know, I think Moravian did the best job of the three in terms of mixing in different coverages. That's who they are. So, obviously, Randolph-Macon and Alfred are really good opponents in terms of defensively. They had really good plans. Where Moravian was going to be the most, dynamic in terms of the different fronts, different blitz packages, and multiple coverages. So I think that's a testament to, I thought Johnny Colombi actually played really well and was efficient. You know, he missed a couple throws, and maybe we took one or two protections that we missed on, but I thought he did a really good job being able to talk him through, as we saw from series to series, talking in the V about different things we were seeing and what we might see. We kind of predicted some of their blitzes, some of their movements, and then, again, it's all about, at that point, mixing in our personnel and trying to get our right guys against their right guys so that we can capitalize in some of those key situations, and that's what we were able to do later in the game. So, you know, I applaud our offensive staff and our offensive players being able to, again, stay the course. You could tell there was a little bit of frustration mounting a little bit there in the second quarter in particular when we felt like we were the ones taking ourselves off the field. No knock against Moravian. They were a good defense, well-coached, and, you know, their head coach, Coach Long, is a good defensive coach. They had a really solid game plan. But I thought that we really didn't execute at situations where we could have. And not just, hey, an incompletion there or a wrong route or a missed block there, but just tangibly things that we can do. We've seen us. We've been able to execute those. And I think that's the reason why we maybe have been a little bit slower in these last couple of games is, like, offensively, we got to get out our own way and just not have those self-inflicted injuries and drive killers because of a negative play, a miss here. We took a sack twice. We had crucial second and third down plays that gets us out of the score zone that we have to now punt. That was right before half. And it's amazing how if we go right before half, we score, and then we get the ball back, we have a much different feeling. But the way that game was played, we didn't get a ton of possessions in the first half. And I think the new ruling with the running clock and all that, if you notice, we're getting about one less possession each half. Well, that extra possession is huge for us. So that's another reason why maybe we haven't scored as much early on. And, you know, we have to look back on maximizing the possessions that we have.
We've been watching that young wide receiver group to see who would emerge. Johnny Harding, first year leading the team in catches. He's a guy who can catch the ball. He can go up and get it. He can catch it in traffic. He can give you yards after the catch, and he's looking real good.
Yeah, he's dynamic. I mean, there's not many first years that come in right away and are day one starters. He's been able to do that. He has the combination for his size. He's pound for pound very tough. He's quick. He's elusive. He's got a really good football IQ. I think his ceiling is very, very high, and we're excited to see where he can go with this. But, you know, each week he's getting more and more confident. He's getting more and more chemistry with Johnny and the quarterbacks. And my hunch is each week we'll try to find different ways to kind of keep growing his plan and the game plan.
You got Quinn Brogy back at center, so I think we should give a shout-out to Tyrese Taylor for the job he did. One of the big things you look for out of the center is accurate snaps in the shotgun, and they've been pretty good.
Yeah, Tyrese came in very well since the Alford game when Quinn got rolled up and was injured. And same thing, you know, they were basically 1-1 in that game on Saturday. Tyrese got the start, and he finished the game. So to me, we're still having, you know, figuring out this week, you know, what is our best combinations up front. But again, we've had, you know, I think at this point, 7 or 8 different combinations of the offensive line between starters and some backups going through. So I think we're still trying to figure out who we're going to be up front and what combinations give us the best ability both to run the ball and protect the quarterback. And it's been different. Each front's been uniquely different. You know, Randolph-Macon was going to be that 4-man front, really pinching it. You know, and they had some pretty dynamic DNs there. You know, with Moravian, they were more of that odd front, walking up and blitzing all of the linebackers. So, and I think we're going to see that this week as a team that's very multiple in terms of many different linebackers walked up in the middle, on the edge, stunting, twisting. So it'll be a similar week for us from a preparation standpoint of what we saw from Moravian against Keystone. But I believe just we uncharacteristically, we gave up 2 hits on the quarterback that were poor communication or missed assignments on us. That usually doesn't happen. So we want to iron that out a little bit this week. But I think without a doubt, hopefully as we get guys healthy, knock on wood, we can stay healthy. And honestly, we've gotten some really good experience with, you know, three guys right now at the offensive line that got their first starts in the last 2 weeks. So that's a good sign.
One injury on the D-line, Billy Brosco, rookie of the week, first 2 weeks went out. Next man up, Hunter Voss. So we haven't seen a whole lot of him on the field. Tell us about him at nose guard.
So Hunter had we thought he finished the season off well last year, was coming through. He unfortunately was one of those. We had a handful of guys, I think 21 guys that didn't suit up in that first game against Alford. He was one of those guys that was coming off of preseason, early season injury. He's kind of working his way back through, and again, we know what with Hunter, you're going to get pound for pound strength and explosiveness. You know, obviously the loss of Bill Brosco is going to be a hard one, especially as dominant as he was, and he was just, you know, getting into his rhythm, you know, and hopefully when he's ready to come back, we'll be welcoming him back. But yeah, we got to be able to have some other guys that are going to be able to step up and have the same presence that he was hopefully providing for our defense.
That linebacker crew is flowing around to the ball once again. You got more linebacker pressure on the quarterback, I think, than you've had this year, which we'll talk about is going to be very important against a Keystone team with a gigantic offensive line.
Yeah, just the way the game plan was the last 2 weeks, you know, where Randolph-Macon was heavy run, and we saw that. And then they obviously had some success in some of their passing downs. We knew that Moravian was going to be different. They were going to spread it out, more 10 and 20 personnel, didn't use the tight end very much. So those spread sets, you know, we didn't bring in as many D-line sets, and it was more of the linebackers. And, you know, I thought it was a different challenge. And I think our defense was tested early on. They went down and scored on their second possession. And we still had opportunities. I think there were some things we missed in the coverage standpoint that we got to clean up this week from our defensive standpoint. But I love the fact that we were able to, especially as the game went on, provide more pressure. We missed a couple times in the quarterback outside the pocket. We'd obviously want to prevent that because that's where they got some of their third down conversions, was when the quarterback got outside of our pressures. But all in all, I thought the combination of our defensive line with our linebackers did a better job as the game went on to keep that quarterback in the pocket, and then we got some sacks and some hits on him.
You've never been afraid to be aggressive late in a game where a lot of coaches might just say, run the ball, kill the clock. You got the late touchdown pass to Crowell that sealed it. Was there something you saw in what they were doing that led you to think that would be there?
Yeah, that's a perfect example of having great confidence in your quarterback. You know, Johnny and I had talked through what we were seeing. You know, we wanted to both run the clock and shorten the game for our defense, you know, but ultimately still make it a two-possession game. And we got the right matchup, and Johnny took advantage of it. So, again, as we do as coaches, we want to talk about all the preparation we do with our players is to give them the best chance to win games. And we want to do that for the full 60 minutes. So, to me, that's a testament. I trusted where our defense was at. We were probably in a situation that we were in two down territory anyway. So, like, that was a play that had both a run option, a quick aim option, and then the way the defense played us, then a vertical option. So you never know exactly what's going to play out. So our play call then is dictated by what is the defense going to do, and your quarterback is the deciding factor. He decides where that goes, inside, outside, or, you know, you run it. And he made the right read, and more importantly, it was a really good route. The protection was sound, and then the quarterback, Johnny, put it in the right spot. So when we can hit off and check off all those boxes, then we're going to have a successful play.
Toby Reffring has been struggling on field goals so far this year. Have you seen any particular thing in him, or what have you said to him to keep his confidence up?
Yeah, and that's the word we're really focused on this week is confidence, because during the week he's doing a great job. I told him the same thing, you know, after the Randolph Macon end of the game. I made it very clear that that wasn't a miss that lost the game. It could have won it. And I think there's a situation where in our kicking game we have competition. I think both Toby and Vicente have shown they've been successful here in the past. We have two other kickers who are punters that are kind of competing with those guys. You know, we it's a body of work. We look at it over the many, many weeks we've been playing, but then that week of, and even through this week, we'll take today and evaluate one more time, and then we make decisions on Friday that give us the best opportunity to be successful on Saturdays. And to me, my biggest thing for any of those, and I said, I don't want any guy to feel like one kick that they lose their confidence. It's a body of work thing. I think for him, I think he's rushing some things. So mechanically, we've looked at some things. But at the end of the day, we trusted the fact that we wouldn't put him out there if we didn't think that he had the ability to do it. And that won't change, whether it's him, whether it's, you know, one or two of our other kickers or one or two of our other punters. All four of our kickers and punters need to be ready for those moments. And again, when we put them out there, it's no different than, you know, an old lineman can miss a block, a defender can miss a tackle, so no one needs to play perfect. We just got to make sure that their preparation is ready for that opportunity.
Well, we always talk about a player doing what he can to win. If you're a basketball player and you're not scoring, then turn up your defense. Toby was drilling those kickoffs. I mean, that's great every time that the return man doesn't get a chance to touch it.
Yeah, and that's what, to me, I would actually argue that's the biggest part of it. Yeah, he missed the one field goal. You know, when they had their one good return, we missed the kick, but when he placed it. So it all goes into one about every job. We talk about winning your 111th. Any single play stands on its own, and we need 11 guys out there doing their job to the best of their abilities. Take care of your 111th and then trust your teammates next to you. So, again, I think he's going to respond back. I haven't lost confidence in Toby, and I want the team to understand, like, you know, we're going to put whoever's out there to give us the best chance. If that means going for it on fourth down, kicking a field goal, you know, it all comes down to, you know, there's emotional, but it's really logical. We're trying to figure out what are our best chances to convert, to keep the offense on the field and or kick a field goal and vice versa. If it makes more sense, the one play I was disappointed, it was third and short. We had a bad snap. We took a negative play. That pushed us to fourth and six and seven. Then we take the field goal attempt. But if it's fourth and short, maybe we're going for it. So that play before might dictate what the next play is. So we got to do a better job, and especially from the offensive side and the special team standpoint, is just taking care of that one play at a time and not always fast forward to what that next play is going to be.
You've been a little bit conservative compared to past years on fourth down. You've punted a few times where maybe you'd go for it in the past. Is that a recognition that the offense is still a work in progress, or just trusting your D?
Both. You know, to be honest with you, every decision is calculated to a certain extent. A lot of those decisions are made even before that Saturday. But then there is that in-game component. So, for example, the opening drive, we were over the 50-yard line. It was about a 4th-and-4. And at that point, I trusted the special teams. Our defense hadn't been, you know, had already been off the field. But I was saying, like, let's go really pin. If our defense is playing well, the logic says sometimes let's go give them a long field to defend. And, you know, if you look at it, we've benefited from a couple short fields this year when we've gotten the short field. So, you know, and at that point, offensively, we maybe hadn't seen all their coverages, their blitz packages. So it's a combination of a lot of different things. But it's never just offensively or just defensively. It's typically in those situations when we are going to go for it. Are we going to hurt our defense? And is it going to hurt our chance to win a game by giving an offense a short field? I thought that early in the game in a 0-0 game, going for it, and if we didn't succeed, and again, I would never go for it if I didn't think we had a really good chance to get it, but there's always opportunities where we might not convert, then I didn't want to give our defense a short field that early in the game. Vice versa, you fast forward to the second quarter, we're backed up even further, and I go for it on 4th-and-1. That was probably not sound, but I felt at that point where our defense and offense was that we needed that spark to go get it. And so, like, to me, that's where there's the logic piece that we've crunched all the numbers, we know the data. But the other part is there's that emotional response of, like, you can look our guys in the eyes and say, like, all right, unless we, you know, get out of our own way, we should be able to convert here and go for it. So, you know, 4th-and-short's different than 4th-and-medium, 4th-and-long. Obviously, all those, the breakdowns will say differently. I would like to feel that the greater that our offense is going to convert, which right now we're not converting on 3rd and 4th down as high as I would want to, will then let me say that maybe we're going to be a little bit more hesitant to go for it. In certain games, maybe it's dictated on the field position, the time of the game, how high scoring is that game going to be. As of right now, like, some of these games have been more low scoring than maybe I would have anticipated. So, you know, I've erred on the side of the defense so far. But we'll see as we go forward. And when we talk about Keystone, they've been up on every single one of their teams by double digits. So this is a game where, similar to how we played us last year, like, they went out and scored on the first two drives against our defense. Maybe we do have to be more aggressive. So I think on Saturday we'll have that in-game feel of, we as a staff kind of gauge out how our guys are in preparation for the week, the momentum in the flow of the game. You know, early in the game, I want to err on the side of making sure that we're winning field position. But that being said, I think as our offense hopefully gets clicking a little bit more, maybe we will be a little bit more aggressive.
No turnovers. That number is going to win you a lot of games.
Yeah, and I think that's where I look at it. Like, you know, the Randolph-Macon game, there was the pressure that got to Johnny as he was throwing it. His only interception of the season was one that was kind of – he was hit as he was throwing it. And then, unfortunately, the 4th down at the end. But, like, for the most part, that's where I say, like, why we're playing the field position part is our offense hasn't done – a lot, knock on wood, that we haven't put our defense or special teams in short fields. At the same time, we've been able to complement, and we've had short fields, and we've scored on those short fields. So even though we're not necessarily playing the most clean offensive game plan so far, I feel like we're doing good things, and we're close to being more efficient. Again, it's the 3rd and 4th downs. Can we stay on the field longer? And if we do that, that's going to equal more points, which then ultimately obviously helps our defense. So we've done well. We just got to do it a little bit better. And I think as we get, you know, all those moving parts of some younger receivers playing a little bit more cohesiveness in the passing game to the three different games with the different O-lines, those two things alone, you know, the consistency in the run game has been pretty steady. I think consistency in the quarterback play has been pretty steady. It's really going to be if the O-line can gel and continue to gel as we have all those moving parts back, and as those younger receivers get more and more confidence and can have cohesiveness in the passing game, I think our efficiency will go up both in 3rd and 4th down conversions.
One more guy I want to mention, Dylan Williams-Molliter at defensive end, 13 tackles, 2.5 for loss, and I love the story. Came in as a linebacker, went to running back, moves to defensive end. I mean, that's the kind of young man, never mind football player, you want in your program who says, how can I help?
Absolutely. And I'm proud of Dylan in so many different ways, from how he overcame some adversity. I mean, he had a season-ending injury. You know, that was part of the reason. Like, he was a pretty solid linebacker. He had an injury. Got stronger in the weight room, came back from the injury. You know, we used him over as a tight end and on special teams last year. And then when I approached him, we as a staff talked about, like, we were graduating some D linemen, and we thought his strength could go help us. you know, I approached him in the winter and just said, Dylan, I trust you. This is the reason we're having this conversation. You know, we think you can both get on the field and have a more prominent role and help the team win. And just like, you know, I can give you numerous examples in the past. I think of Drew Walsh last year was a similar conversation. Most of those times when guys understand it's a we decision, it's together, we make that decision. But I'm proud of what he's done. And, you know, he's getting better and better each week. He's had a really good week of practice. I think he's getting more and more comfortable in terms of the pass rush. You know, he's a strong individual, loves the weight room, and I think that carries over. He can be more violent in that position. Where tight end's a violent but a thinking position. D-line, you can go, you know, create havoc, and I think that was a really good move for him. And my hunch is, same thing with some of our other younger D-linemen, the more and more they can embrace how the weight room and then the preparation can allow them go be more aggressive on the field, hopefully that's going to bode well, like you said, as we need to, you know, continue to be strong at the point of attack.
You got Keystone Saturday at 12 noon in Pennsylvania, another landmark conference school, and the first couple of times, it's a brand-new program in their fourth year. The first couple of times, you can throw your helmets out on the field and come away with a win. Might not be the case anymore.
Yeah, and I've never felt that way. There's a reason we back years ago, we had trouble fixing that week four opening. So that's where Keystone came in. And it all starts with Justin Higgins, their head coach. I have a personal and professional relationship with. He's the type of young man that is a coach that, like, I respect how he coaches, how he develops his men. I think there's similar alignment in why we coach. So when we had a chance to play, I knew that their teams are always going to be well-prepared. They're going to be hard-fought. They're usually really disciplined in what they do. And each year you can see the progression. You know, the first year or two where, you know, maybe we got the upper hand on them. Last year, I thought they won the first half. They were, you know, they scored, we scored, they scored, we scored. They had a fake that should have converted. They didn't, and we went down and scored right before half. But it was evenly played, and I actually thought they outplayed us in some ways. You look at them this year, don't look at their record. They've been up by double-digit points in every single game, like up at halftime, all three. So contrary to us, it's almost been the opposite. They've gotten off to strong starts. And for whatever reason, I don't have the exact answer that, you know, they've missed a couple late in the game. You know, last week was a 42-40 game. You know, that can go either way. And I think so we have to do a better job getting off to a stronger start. And it's easy to say. I mean, there's not just – I wish it was a quick button. I could say, hey, Ted, we're going to get off to a stronger start. I think our guys have been focused. I think our execution is what needs to change. But – you know, credit them. They do a great job. Their coaching staff and their players game planning. They jumped offensively. They're very big at the line of scrimmage. They have a really explosive running back. They have skill, speed. So this is going to be a tough matchup for our defense, probably because they're going to be a little bit more complete between the run and the pass. Probably a little heavier in the run right now. And then on defense, they are aggressive. They attack. You're not going to know sometimes where the linebacker is stood up as a linebacker. He's up over the nose. They're going to move these linebackers around, and then they're able to play man. So it's going to seem similar to the Moravian defensive game plan and probably closer to the Alfred game plan for our defensive standpoint with, you know, like I said, probably even a bigger line than Alfred.
Bigger line than some NFL teams. They average a 308 across the front, and they've given up no sacks this year. How do you get pressure on a line that big?
That's pretty impressive, and I think that's a combination of a returning quarterback that's smarter with not holding on the ball back there. They are run first and then a lot of play action or quick game off of it. So I think it's going to be a different challenge for our defense. Like I said, to how are we going to hold up when we're giving up 70, 80, 90 pounds per man up front? You know, our guys are pound for pound strong, so we're going to have to use movement and toughness up front. Obviously, our linebackers come into play there too, and then obviously being able to be multiple in how we get to the point of attack. So whether that's blitzing, whether that's moving, stunting, we're going to have to do some different things because if we sit still, you know, mass is going to sometimes win in that regard. So we got to make sure that we're not easy to block by being able to move and be a little bit more dynamic that way.
You talk about Coach Justin Higgins building a program. This offensive core has all grown up together. You got Donald Leach III, the quarterback's a senior. Muhammad, not a big guy at running back, 5'8", 165, but a ton of yardage. Jason Nami, and a big play receiver. And those guys have all taken their lumps together and gotten better every year.
Yeah, that's what I think. That they're seniors. They have some graduate students, those 4- and 5-year guys. And you think about starting a program, and Coach Higgins will probably attest to this, is that you have a lot of loyalty for those guys because they've stayed through when things weren't going well. Where maybe he's lost some guys along the way. Those that are still there care and believe about that program, and you'll see that in their effort. They're playing harder, they're playing stronger, and again, they believe. That's the strength of a coaching staff, is when you can get your players to believe you're a good program and going to win, and then they're doing that right now. So we know going down there is not going to be an easy trip. It's they always play better at home. And I think of 2 years ago when we went down there, they should have went down and scored. They ended up dropping one in the end zone. You know, the game ended up being in our favor, but they played really, really hard early on, and they kept playing hard for the whole 60 minutes. And last year, like I said, when we played them here, they outplayed us in the first half. And that was not us taking them lightly. That was them just head-to-head executing better. So with the experience they have on both sides of the ball, with the dynamic athletes, a couple of the guys that they have on both sides of the ball, they got to feel pretty confident in how they're going to match up with us.
Defensively, they're giving up a lot of points and yards. Is this game more likely to be 42-40 than 10-7?
I would think, you know, just from looking at the initial film and looking at the stat line, again, it's going to, you know, offensively, we got to be able to execute better than we did, but I got to believe they've scored points in everyone, so it's going to be a good challenge. If our defense can keep them down, excellent. But I also think offensively, this is probably not a game that's a 10-7 game unless both offenses are struggling. I think it's the ability for us, if we can stay on the field and again, win the field position. The couple times that both teams have scored, there's been a little bit more turnovers in some of their games. So I think takeaways, special teams, and then big plays. Both teams are going to play man-to-man, so then there's the ability for some of those big plays. We saw that they went in our favor against Moravian. You know, obviously when you play man-to-man on both sides of it, you got to be willing to be giving up those big plays. And I think that's where our efficiency on offense can keep us on the field. They'll give us a chance to sustain and ultimately, hopefully, not make this a low-scoring game.
I probably know the answer, but how much attention have you paid to the rest of the Liberty League? Everybody's playing tougher preseason schedules, but everyone's taking some losses, and it looks like if there was a year that it's really wide open, this could be it.
You're the first one that's looked ahead in terms of no one on our staff, no one on our team better be looking ahead. You know, someone mentioned something a couple weeks ago about a Liberty League opponent, and we quickly corrected them that our focus is on the next team. When we are on the bus traveling back from Pennsylvania on Saturday, we'll flip to the next opponent. But I think it's dangerous to look early. I mean, if you look at us, like I said, we could be 3-0 and we could be 0-3. And that's not cliche. If you watch those games, I think we're a good team. I don't think we're playing great yet. I think we have the ability to be great. And I also think that at times we play average. So we got to really put the focus on us. I said this to someone earlier in the week. I don't know exactly who we are yet, and that's not a good sign going into week four. I think it's a good thing because we're still evolving and developing, but I can't tell you our exact identity because we haven't shown it yet. I think I know who we are. I think I know our personnel. So I want this to be a week where we can come out and confidently show on all three phases, you know, not just personnel talent, but the ability to go show our identity and build confidence in that regard. Because once you get to our conference, throughout the records, it's going to be a dogfight week in and week out. I think our conference from top to bottom is one of the deepest conferences, and we'll see how it is. I honestly have not looked at any film on anyone else. I've seen some scores, and scores don't tell the whole story. If you watch some of our games, I don't think the score says everything. So points obviously matter, and you got to have more points on the end of the day for the scoreboard to get the win. But I also think a lot of these teams are going to look much different by the time we're playing them. So, you know, a Liberty League opponent that we're going to play week 8, 9, 10 is going to look much different now. Right now, I know our focus needs to be, can we go play a complete game for 60 minutes and then be able to put a stamp on what our non-conference schedule was, learn from it, and then be ready to go 0-0 and head into league play, and we'll figure out who that next team is and what do they look like at that point.
I know you said you're still trying to figure out who you are, but one thing I think we've seen, I mentioned this last week, is this team has a lot of heart and a lot of fight. If you're in a game in the fourth quarter, you got to like your chances with this group.
Absolutely. And I think that was our hunch coming out of last season. And then, you know, a lot of that's developed in the winter, in the spring. And just watching these guys compete, you know, there's a lot of 6 a.m. workouts. There's a lot of things that these guys have already endured. So by the time they get to game day, it's time to roll up. And just, again, my goal for our guys is just love the opportunity to compete. Like, we love to compete. You know, and I look at the Randolph-Macon game. It didn't come our way at the end, but our guys we're competing like a bunch of hungry dogs. And I think if we can do that week in and week out and never lose that chip on our shoulder of just playing with an edge, you know, we got to go out and execute. We got to block. We got to make tackles, all the things that are common sense, you know, but it's going to take all three phases doing that. And I think that's the competitiveness, that if we can do that week in and week out, I like our chances to be in the game, and then we got to find ways to win, and that's what we do. When you a good team to a great team is you find ways to win. This team, I think, is showing knacks to finding ways to win and doesn't always have to go our way, and I think that's a good sign because when things go our way, then obviously it'll be even easier. But if we can be in it and compete, you know, this goes back in the last couple of years. If we can win those close games, that's going to bode well as we get into our league play and then hopefully into the postseason.
This has been the Hobart Football Podcast. Coming up, it's Hobart at Keystone Saturday. That's a 12 noon kickoff in Pennsylvania. Beautiful place to watch a game and not a long drive, so we hope to see a lot of Hobart fans there. You can find this podcast wherever you go for podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever. We've been talking with head coach Kevin DeWall. Thanks for the time, as always, and I won't ask any more questions looking beyond the next opponent.
Thanks, Ted. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday.